Welcome to the fourth episode of All Things Crypto, an Elk Finance podcast.
I am Fareed.
And I'm Shiloh, also known as LT Snake Plissken.
Keep in mind, we are not financial advisors, and this is not financial advice. If you're looking for financial advice, please find a licensed advisor in your area.
And don't use Ted down the street. He once sold my lawnmower and bought a suit with it.
Oh, yeah. He's my financial advisor. Oof.
Better look elsewhere, bud. Oof.
Our mission in this Elk Finance podcast is to provide resources to people who are interested in crypto.
And today we're talking about impermanent loss in DeFi, as in, you know, decentralized finance. So in order to kind of get this, you're going to need to know a little bit about liquidity pools. We're also going to touch on farming. So you might want to check out our last two episodes for more info about that, unless you kind of already know the gist. So if we get something wrong,
which we never do,
never once, except for all those times.
Yeah, that was true.
Yeah, no. You know, most of the time. But if we do, let us know. We welcome the feedback. That's how we get better, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of want to learn, share some stuff, and kind of make it conversational. So let us know on Telegram. Tell us directly at t.me/elk_finance as a direct link to the Telegram. All right, so let's get started. And I want to preface this with giving some credit to Roland Rude. He's our lead writer here at Elk. And he wrote the article that we based a lot of this stuff on. Fantastic article. If you haven't read it, it's on our Medium, which you can find at elk-finance.medium.com. And it's under the Elk Academy section. So you might want to give that a read, especially if you're still kind of confused or want to kind of follow along with what we're talking about.
Yeah, I want to just exactly say the same thing. Roland's writing is very easy to follow. And I think he's a great resource. If after listening to us, you still have questions, maybe you can find the answer in his, I think it was session 4.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was the fourth article. So it's a little bit further back. So he's a little bit ahead of us in terms of schedule.
Right.
So
absolutely. Okay. Let's get it right into it. Shadow, what is impermanent loss?
So impermanent loss occurs when you've got two tokens in a liquidity pool. So remember we talked about LP, right? When you lend your token and another token in a pair together to a decentralized exchange, and people borrow from your tokens to buy and sell, and you earn a little bit of fees on those buys and sells, right? What happens when one or both of those tokens increase or decrease in value in relation to each other? So that's the hard part to kind of grasp here. Impermanent loss refers to the difference between if I was holding, let's say, Bitcoin and Elk, if I was holding those separately, I just had them in my wallet, they're just sitting there, versus I've made a Bitcoin Elk pair and put it in the liquidity pool. Mm-hmm. Now, impermanent loss is when, like I said, those values of both those tokens diverge. They change. Bitcoin goes, let's say, down in price, and Elk goes up in price. And what's going to happen is if you've got those two tokens in a pool, what's going to happen is you're going to actually get, more Bitcoin, a little bit more Bitcoin, and a little less Elk, but it's going to remain in the same ratio of value. But if you held Bitcoin and Elk separately, not in a liquidity pool, you would actually have a little bit more money depending on how far it went up or went down, if that makes sense. If Elk went really far up, chances are you would have been, it would have been great to just hold it, outside, just in your wallet. So, impermanent loss occurs. It's the difference between if you just held them in your wallet, the two tokens, and if you provided them in a liquidity pair. And I know that's a lot to take in because it's not just a number you can kind of look at And it's kind of a weird term, like impermanent loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because why is it impermanent?
That was my question, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's impermanent because as long, like, if the ratio of value of both of the tokens, so let's say you've got USDC, $1.
Yeah.
And you've got ELK at $2.50. Mm-hmm. $2.50. And then, you know, ELK doubles, right? And then you have ELK at $5, and USDC doesn't change value, so it's still at $1. What actually is going to happen is you don't actually, you know, earn as if your ELK has doubled in a pool. Because you'll actually get a little bit more USDC in your wallet,
mm-hmm.
and a little less ELK, so they can maintain a certain ratio. So again, the impermanency can be corrected. If ELK went back down to $2.50 from $5, then again, you would have the exact same amount
mm-hmm.
of ELK and USDC that you put in at the beginning, as long as they maintain the same ratio.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This is a very interesting concept, because you have to remember, I want to highlight one of the comments you made regarding, I don't know, sometimes you see one token, it has a wild ride. I mean, when you're looking at it, for instance, in an interval of 1 year, you can see that in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And in that case, you can totally see why you want to just hold it.
Yeah.
As the token, and you're not really going to get into pairing it, because you're just getting a really good return on it. So this pairing comes to effect when you're trying to reduce the risk and just basically take advantage of these volatilities we are seeing in the market.
Right.
And kind of gain something on it, you know, because you're kind of double dipping, you know, because number one, you're playing a volatility and you're trying to gain there. And at the same time, you're getting compensated based on the transaction fees.
Right. You're getting a little bit as a liquidity provider, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of the answer to the question. You're probably listening and saying, okay, if I get this impermanent loss, why would I provide liquidity if I could lose money? That sounds terrible. Crypto's risky enough. And that's why you're counting on, in most standard protocols, like most standard DEXs, decentralized exchanges, by being a liquidity provider, you're counting on getting some fees. Like, it costs a little bit to swap AVAX for ELK, for example, right? And so every time somebody swaps between your pair, you mm-hmm. get a little bit of that credit. So you kind of make that call. Okay, I think this is going to be a popular pair on this exchange. I know a lot of people are going to swap for it. So I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to pair these. And if it does, you know, if it does double in value, mm-hmm. You're actually going to lose about 5.7% more overall than you would if you held them separately.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it halved, again, 5.72%. If one doubles and one stays the same,
mm-hmm.
In the same situation, or one halves and one stays the same, you're going to, again, 5.72%, you're going to lose compared to if you held those tokens separately in your wallet. But you're taking the gamble that you're going to get more in fees from being a liquidity provider than just holding the tokens. It's almost like making them kind of do something.
Exactly. You know what? Again, this is the critical step, is just here to have a good understanding of what pair you want to pick and how long you are willing to wait, just in case if you have losses or if you have too much volatility. Because I don't know, if it is me, I always love to take the volatility, because that's the, if you don't take risk, you're not going to get any return for it.
Right, exactly. And that's what crypto is full of, right? So if you kind of think of it like some fruit, right? If you held some apples and you traded some of those apples for bananas,
mm-hmm.
The apples kind of become more scarce, because everyone's trading apples for bananas.
That's right.
So if the apple's more scarce, it's supply and demand. So it's actually worth more than the banana. So I'm actually going to have more bananas in my pile and less apples, because the apples are going to be worth more. But the idea is that they're going to be like in the pear. I shouldn't say pear because that's another fruit. together. Yeah. The apple and banana amount is still worth the same as you, kind of close to the same as you put in when you gave away part of your apples, minus about, you know, a few percent. So, I mean, it kind of helps to think of it that way, right? It's kind of supply and demand.
It is a supply and demand, but at the same time, the algorithm developed for is all about making sure that everything is keeping the balance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep that in mind, you know, because, yeah, the apples are becoming more scarce, but the pairing is impacted by that. And everything is just basically adjusted in real time to make sure that you know what you're getting into. So it's not like, oh, yeah, you know what? Your friend tells you about this pair in the morning and by afternoon is going to be exactly the same number.
Yes, because it's always going to change price, especially if you've got volatile tokens or one of the tokens is a cryptocurrency, right? They're not going to be stable. And you've probably maybe come across the term automated market maker, AMM. So that's kind of the name for the protocol that manages everyone's liquidity in everyone's decentralized exchange in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that includes a few things, but in the case of, liquidity provisioning, it's kind of determined the formula in a smart contract that tells it how many, if tokens get to this price or this price, how much you should have of each. It doesn't care. It just follows a formula. It follows a curve. Mm-hmm. And it's actually some really intense math. You can always check out you know, some calculators and stuff. And that kind of brings us into our next bit.
That's here. Right. That was exactly the question I wanted to ask next. How can it calculate it?
Yes.
Talk about impermanent loss.
So to manually hand calculate it, it's very, very difficult. But if you can check the link in our description here, there's a link to a calculator that you can kind of play around with the amounts and say, okay, when I started, let's say my two tokens were worth this much. And when I ended, you know, when I decided to withdraw, let's say they're worth this much, and you kind of input the amounts, and it mm-hmm. tells you how much impermanent loss you'd incur based on each scenario that you put in. There's a lot of kind of plenty of kind of impermanent loss calculators online. So it's good to kind of, if you start playing around with it a little bit,
that's right,
and you can kind of get a sense of how it works.
I strongly encourage the listeners to do that, you know, because when you're starting kind of playing with the numbers, I understand these are just scenarios which are not necessarily true, but it just gives you a really good flavor of what's happening, you know, because in one of the course material we have from Roland, you see a curve, which basically is looking at the change in a price for a 50-50 case and how it impacts the basically change in a pairing ratio and the losses you have there. So when you play with these calculators and you go back to that plot, it just suddenly starts making more sense.
Yes, absolutely. So with impermanent loss, it's important to remember that no matter which directions the prices go, there's always going to be a little bit of an impermanent loss as long as the prices differ. So impermanent loss can happen when the price of a token goes up in relation to another and when it goes down in relation to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you held both of them and one went up a lot higher and a lot faster, you would have probably gained more holding them separately. But again, you're taking the gamble that people are going to kind of do some exchanging in the liquidity pool, and then you're going to get some of those fees. So you're kind of making that gamble. But if both of the tokens, let's say I've got Bitcoin and I've got Elk,
mm-hmm.
and I've got Bitcoin is worth $50,000, let's say. Let's be optimistic. It's gonna happen. Maybe it will have after this episode comes out, you know? You never know. And Elk is $3.
Mm-hmm.
But something amazing happens and Bitcoin doubles its multi-trillion dollar market cap, right? So let's say Bitcoin now is worth $100,000.
Okay.
And let's say Elk is worth $6. Remember, Elk was worth $3, mm-hmm. and Bitcoin was worth $50,000.
That's but they right.
Both doubled
at the same time.
Both doubled. In that case, there is no impermanent loss because the ratio between
the same.
Exactly between the two tokens stayed the same, right?
That's right.
And same if they both have.
Yeah.
Bitcoin hits 25,000. You know, Elk stays at $3, obviously. No, I'm just kidding. And Elk, if Bitcoin halved from $50,000 to $25,000, and then Elk went to $1.50, again, they're at the same ratio.
That's right.
So again, no impermanent loss occurs. Loss occurs, but not it. But it's still impermanent in the sense that you can't actually lose the money until you take it out, right? If you keep it in the pool, it could go back to where it was. But, you know, with all crypto, it's always a risk. Things can come always crashing down.
Again, I just want to highlight this. This is always trying to normalize it in a pair to make sure that you're just kind of holding two tokens in a ratio which you got into it. But you have to remember, again, this is something which volatility is your friend if you know what you're doing, you know, because sometimes you want to just play the divergence between the two tokens to gain one more than the other because you believe that in the future it's going to gain so much value.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And if you take a look at the Medium article link in our description here that Roland has written, there's a really simple, nice curve that we're talking about that you can go and check out. It kind of every smart contract that's every automated market maker, AMM, every liquidity pool basically follows this graph, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't care which token.
These are universal set of curves, and when you're looking at it, I mean, not necessarily just in Roland's paper, you can find numerous curves which mm-hmm. are looking at different ratio of pairing.
Yeah.
For instance, 50-50, 80-20, I don't know, 95-5. And that basically gives you an understanding of how much impermanent losses occurs when the price fluctuation happens. And that gives you a strategy of how you want to play it
right.
and manage your risk at the same time.
Right. And, you know, that's where kind of farming comes in too, right? Because, you
guys,
know,
farming is something I love. F word is just, oh man,
that's great.
That is one of the funnest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. Farming is awesome. And that's another incentive that automated market makers, will have often, right? So farming, you take that receipt you get from putting your two tokens in equal amounts.
That's
and
right.
you get kind of tokens that represent your share of that pool and you put them in the farm, if you remember. And by putting them in the farm, usually you earn tokens that haven't been released yet or maybe tokens that the protocol bought back and is giving back to investors. Mm-hmm. Could be coming from kind of anywhere. You might not even get that protocol's tokens. They might distribute other tokens, whatever. So it's kind of an additional pool on top of a pool. So that can really kind of offset your losses too and the risk of impermanent loss. And not to mention with Elk having something pretty unique called impermanent loss protection, right? And I'll get into that a little bit more later, but basically Elk compensates you for any impermanent loss you would have in a pool. They would compensate you in Elk, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, that I guess that kind of brings us to the next piece.
So the other question, which I think we need to kind of answer a little bit more clearly, you know, we talked about a lot of things here, is how can we avoid impermanent loss?
Yeah, and that's a tricky thing, right? I mean, you know, I guess the one way we can do it is we just don't provide liquidity. We just don't put it in the liquidity pool. No impermanent loss. It's just regular old, you know, boring, volatile crypto losses or gains, right?
You know what? It is really interesting, you know, because I totally see that that is a strategy for more kind of a bigger tokens such as Bitcoin or Ethereum,
mm-hmm.
Which people playing it that way. But, you know, for other tokens,
Yeah.
Such as elk. I think, you know, it makes perfect sense to take the risk, you know, because
yeah.
the losses are still extremely manageable, but the upside is just definitely provides the incentives to take the risk for it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's kind of the best part, right? Is like a lot of places don't have the impermanent loss protection, right? So,
yeah.
You know, I guess that brings us into, you know, one of the things we can avoid, right? We can use to avoid it is insurance, right? Like that impermanent loss protection, right? So if it's got, if the protocol you're investing in has impermanent loss protection, you know, usually if you're in a farm, you've got your LP tokens in a farm and the prices diverge and you've, you know, lost 10% based on if you were to, you know, the difference between if you held them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would be compensated for that impermanent loss.
Mm-hmm.
So elk does that, and that's pretty cool with the insurance, and we'll get into it in a bit.
So you're telling me that pretty much the elk is taking all the risk for you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, right?
During that, of course, that 42 days. I mean,
yes, yeah. During the 42 days. Yeah. You can't it's do it not forever.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah. And at least for as long as we have farms. So, and we've allocated, you know, a huge chunk, 25% almost, for impermanent loss protection alone. So this was planned in advance, which is pretty sweet. Yeah. So other ways we can avoid impermanent loss, single token staking. So, for example, that's where you take a single token and you stake it for another token. Now you're not going to incur any impermanent loss because when you put, like, let's say I put elk on another protocol, they say, okay, we'll take your elk. You put it in a vault mm-hmm. and you're going to earn this other token of ours. And I say, cool. So I put a bunch of elk in there. And maybe it's a 4% fee. So I lose 4% of my elk, but I hope to get that 4% back so I can, you know, can regain that loss. But then I'm only staking one token. It's called, you know, staking in that single staking because I'm only staking my one token. So there's no pair.
That's right.
It's just going to be going up or down. So, but the only downside to this is the amount you get back on a day, the return of investment, you know, is a lot lower. The APRs tend to be a lot lower because there's not much risk.
Yep. You know, because it's always about the no guts, no glory.
Yeah. And the usefulness of single staking is great because it keeps people's tokens locked up and they're less likely to be traded if they're staked, if people are earning on them. So it can mitigate risk for the protocol, for the product that way.
Mm-hmm.
But often, you know, it isn't the greatest thing because if you're not the protocol, you know, I just have a vault. And I'm X token, but I say, hey, come in and single stake your elk here and you can earn my token. You know, I'm just giving you my token and I'm just holding the elk. So it's not as functional.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not as sustainable, especially if you see those high APRs, I'd be suspicious.
So your returns are going to suffer
mm-hmm.
for the sake of getting a little bit of more certainty and
right.
taking less risk.
Yeah. So chances are you'd be better off in a farm. You know, although you're taking more risk, and that's why I say chances are, it's hard to say because you never know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another way we can mitigate risk is staking things like stable coins. So, you know, currency usually pegged to the US dollar, or stake a one token along with a wrapped version of the same token. Mm-hmm. Tokens are wrapped when they usually go to another blockchain. Right. So it could be you're pairing across chain, you know, one with the unwrapped token, with the wrapped token
mm-hmm.
to keep their value, or the two stable coins. Right. Like a great example, actually, Fareed here, I put you in a stable coin farm for a while where you were farming. He was farming on Pancake Bunny.
That was it. Yeah. I got some pancakes and
yeah,
I got some bunnies. And
yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good start.
Yeah, and you know, but of course the APR was much lower. I think it was somewhere around 30% a year.
Garbage.
Yeah, garbage. Unacceptable in crypto.
Anything less than 250%.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It really changes your thoughts on traditional,
you know,
banking.
When we started, that blew my mind. And now I'm sitting here and just like, oh, I can do better.
Yeah, exactly. So, and again, not a lot of risk. So the APRs are a lot lower, right?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really interesting, you know, because as you were answering this question, I was just like realizing that, you know, you can have all of these options in your portfolio. Yeah. And as a result of that, you can just basically manage your risk and make sure that, you know what, you're getting something, yeah, whatever makes you happy and whatever
that's true.
Kind of scratches the itch.
Yeah, you don't actually have to do one thing. You know, if you've got good enough portfolio, you can take some of your portfolio and you can provide liquidity and farm it. And then you could take those farming gains where you gain a single token and you can stake it if you find those places where you can do that. And then you can convert some of it to a stable coin and you could, you know, keep some in there to be, you know, spread out. Yeah. Your stuff, right? And then that way you can mitigate your risk as well. You know,
yeah, it's the same as a traditional investment that you want to just make sure that you don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure. I need to do that a little bit better. I've got so much elk; it's ridiculous.
You know what? Full disclosure: I'm full elk right now.
Yeah, so not financial advisors. Remember, that's very important.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for bringing that up because
that's right.
We are preaching something we are not practicing right now.
No, that's right. So yeah, and I think to go back a little bit to our impermanent loss protection with elk, there's a few protocols that do it. I know Balancer. And I thought somebody mentioned something called Olympus Pro or something. I don't actually know where they are at, but I've heard the name. Don't quote me on it. But it's basically, I've only heard of us and one other big protocol that does it. I'm sure there's more, but yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You know, it's just like, I don't know, this is triple dipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to go through that? You know, because sure. I just like you get paid and paid and paid.
Yeah, it's kind of silly because you with the impermanent loss protection, that's one of the dips, right? So the first gain you get here is by having your liquidity pool tokens in the pool, right? You're gaining on people's fee. So that's dip one. That's awesome. And then number two, the thing that's happening is you're putting those LP tokens, those liquidity pool tokens, you're putting them in a farm and gaining unreleased tokens, right? So that's dip number two.
That is
now
correct.
Dip number three is the impermanent loss protection, right? So you gain there too. So I don't want to say you can't lose because the whole market can crash at any time. Things can go down. And when Bitcoin goes down, we know that the whole market goes with it. So let's be real here, right? But, you know, that's what crypto is all about. It's taking those risks. And it's especially important to like, it's all excitement aside, is to never, never, ever, ever put in more than you can afford to lose. Like, I know I say that every episode.
I think, you know what, for crypto investors, that's rule zero.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So you never know, with all these protections in place, the market can still tank.
Yeah, absolutely. But one comment I wanted to make, and maybe you can touch on, is Shiloh, about you really don't need to stay for full duration of the farming. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so basically for elk, when you've got your liquidity pair in, and then you take those liquidity pair tokens you that are created that represent your pool, your liquidity pool share compared to everybody else's, and you put those in the farm, then what happens is if you put those in at the start of the farming round, now those happen every 42 days like clockwork, and you can check our Medium and check those dates. I believe the last one started on the 11th of September and runs for 42 days after that. I'm not going to do date math because I'm terrible at it, but, but 42 days after that, it's like sometime basically at the end of October-ish, you know, where it ends. So, if you keep your tokens in the farm, your LP tokens in the farm, throughout the whole period of 42 days, you get 100% impermanent loss coverage for that pair. Now, you remember that's the divergence compared to if you're just holding them in your hand, holding them in your wallet, and putting them in the pair. So if they both go down at the same rate, or go up at the same rate, there's no loss, you know, impermanent loss. But if, you know, of course, if they go down at the same rate, that's just regular old loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So elk will compensate the amount of impermanent loss, that percentage, the difference, the percentage difference between holding and keeping in a pair. It will compensate that that loss 100% in elk if you keep it in there for 100% of the time. Now, what you mentioned there is, so basically it's prorated, which means give or take 2.5% a day you get of impermanent loss coverage. Mm-hmm. And if there's 42 days, that's why I say thereabouts 2.5% because it's not quite, but you get 1/42nd percent of coverage every day until the 42nd day, in which the coverage is then 100%.
And that is something which is a really, really good idea, you know, because as these farms coming and going, you can just use this strategy, just basically park your token somewhere, gain, as mentioned, quite a bit on it, and you have the luxury of taking it out whenever you want to do whatever you want with it. And that is something which is, honestly, I'm not really familiar. You're far better than me with the crypto world, but that is something which is not available in other tokens, actually.
No, not really. Chains. Yeah, and the great part is if you have a Moose NFT, the non-fungible token that we give out, that we do not give out, we sell for... to provide liquidity for the next chain.
I have one.
Yeah.
I have one.
If you've got the Moose on that same blockchain, that your farms are on, you actually get your impermanent loss coverage twice as fast. So you have technically impermanent loss coverage for in 21 days, you've got 100% coverage. Mm-hmm. So halfway through, remember the farming rounds are 42 days.
That's right.
After 21 days, it's 100% coverage. So you could, if you've got a Moose, you could maybe game this, take a risk. You know, halfway through, you could withdraw your LP tokens and put them back in, right? On the 21st, withdraw, put in, claim that impermanent loss, put it back in. And maybe, you know, the remaining 21 days, you'll also maybe get a little bit more impermanent loss protection as well. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. I find this impermanent loss conversation fascinating, and I hope you guys learned as much as I personally learned.
Yeah.
You know, it was very interesting conversation, and I think this is potentially for some of the listeners, including myself here. I'm just looking at it. I'm just like, maybe this is a strategy I'm going to work on to generate better return for myself.
Yeah. And I like, this was one of the things where we read Roland's article, very well written. We looked at some other stuff, looked at some graphs, and my brain almost broke. Like, I've been talking about impermanent loss and for a long time. But I think you know, that moment when your brain's just too full, but you almost got it, and then you kind of get it and you lose it and you're like, oh no, wait. And then you get it again. It was like looking at these charts, but eventually, like, take a look, read the article in our description here.
Definitely.
And check out Roland's article, and, you know, feel free to play around with that calculator that we're going to link in there too.
I strongly recommend, after reading Roland's article on that, playing with a calculator, because it just makes it more tangible.
Yeah.
And it just, it's easier suddenly to make sense of all the conversation and these graphs.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Well, so we really appreciate you guys listening. Please give us some feedback. Join the Telegram again, t.me/elk_finance. And you can find that in the Telegram. Again, I'm Shiloh. You can find me at LTSnakePliskin in the Telegram. And I've also got Fareed here. If you have a message for either of us, I'll pass it on to him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for being with us in this episode.
Yeah, thanks for another Elk Finance podcast, another episode of All Things Crypto. I'm not sure what our next episode's going to be, but I think it'll be great.
Yeah. See you soon.
See ya.